My guest today on Piano Jazz is Diane Reeves. She's gracing the jazz world with her wonderful mix of pop, African and American influences, which has led to her claim as a truly unique contemporary songstress. Hi, Diane.
How you doing today?
All right.
Good.
How are you?
I'm good.
Gosh, I didn't realize that Clark Terry discovered you.
Yes, he did. I was 17 years old at the time, working with the high school jazz band. And they had a citywide competition that we won, and that allowed us to go to Chicago to what was then called the NAJE, National Association of Jazz Educators. And while I was there performing, he heard me, a woman by the name of Maxine Adams said, you know, you've got to hear this girl. You know?
Oh, I know Maxine.
Yeah,
from
you
Wichita.
Know, from Wichita,
yes.
Right, exactly. And so I met Clark, and he said, yeah, you know, and he said, I'm going to be in touch with you. And I just, you know, I said, okay, and I gave him my number, and he was and has been ever
Isn't
since.
Isn't that great? Well, he's such a terrific guy.
He really is.
Have you recorded with him at all?
Actually, yes. I'm really excited because we did this record called The Grand Encounter, and it was with Clark and Sweets and James Moody and just a wonderful cast of characters.
You said it right, a cast of characters.
Yeah, but, you know, I remember when I worked with Clark, you know, I was always surrounded by the best musicians. When I went to work with him, he already had great musicians. Sometimes it would be Major Holly on bass or George DeVivier, you know, just Jimmy Rolls, or one time it was Sir Roland Hanna.
Oh,
it was just
goodness.
Always some, and then I didn't know who they were, you know, but they were great. And there was just, you know, it was the most fertile soil.
So you started right in your high school days with the top guys.
Yeah, I think so.
That's
yeah.
the way to go.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, where were you, at Cass High School?
No, actually, I grew up in Denver, Colorado. So I was in the regular in George Washington, but they had this amazing jazz program. This gentleman, Dick Culver, headed the music department in Denver Public Schools, and we had all kind of people coming in doing clinics, and, you know, we had a lot of exposure.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sing something. I'm dying to hear you do a tune.
Well, you know, I thought I would start out with the blues because that was like the first thing I heard growing up. My aunt used to play the piano and just sing all of those songs from the 20s and 30s, but the thing that I love most was the blues. So
well,
start
that's,
there.
I mean, that's the basis of all jazz, isn't
Absolutely.
It? Wonderful.
All right.
Okay.
Here we go. One, two, a one, two, three. I wanna tell all you girls a secret. Please don't tell nobody else. I wanna tell all you girls a secret. Please don't tell nobody else. Well, it's a $1 million secret. Please don't tell nobody else. Now, if you're a real young girl and you wanna get rich quick, get you an old, old man, child, that'll be the lick, you know. Those old men are fine. Girl, they know just what to do.
More questions to ask you. I read somewhere where did you study or be coached by Phil Moore? Is that
oh,
what that
yes.
was?
Yeah, when I was living in Los Angeles, I met Phil. And he had a workshop for singers, Get Your Act Together.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I'm hearing about it.
Mm-hmm. And it was wonderful because, first of all, you know, Phil's history, he's worked with so many people, Lena Horne, Marilyn Monroe. I mean, he coached them for movies and, you know, nightclubs and did their arrangements and so forth. And
he's like
a wonderful arranger.
Dean of coaches and arrangers.
Absolutely,
he?
Absolutely. And so it was great to have this workshop where you could go and work out your ideas and find songs, because he always felt that, you know, for a singer, the song was the most important thing, the lyrics, and that, you know, you find things that you could connect to on some level. And that was the whole workshop, and we worked on all of those things.
Find songs that you have a as you say, a connection with or something in your life that makes you have some affinity to the song.
Absolutely. It was great because, you know, you don't really get a chance to go to a place and work things out, you know. And he taught us how to be very comfortable in front of an audience, some mic technique, all those kind of things that you might take for granted that really make for a better show.
Well, that gives you a great advantage. I mean, no wonder you do all the wonderful things that you do. So, meanwhile, how were you, I mean, were you absorbing, like, any other influence from other singers at all? Did you?
You know, I was listening to so much music. You know, growing up in the jazz music of that particular time, in the early 70s, was like fusion. You know, music had taken on a whole different kind of thing. And so I was listening to that. But also, you know, I grew up listening to the music of Motown. And then, you know, with my uncle and my parents, you know, I was always listening to mostly Sarah Vaughan, because she was my favorite. The fact that she could do so many things. You know?
I loved that woman. She was.
Oh. She
could do so many things. And it's funny because she didn't. I think it was all so natural. It just sort of fell out of her, you know.
Yeah.
In fact, we were lucky enough, Jimmy, my husband, and myself, to meet her and then to actually work with her.
Mm-hmm.
But did you meet her yourself?
Yes, I got the opportunity to meet her. It was funny. I was working with Clark, and she was working with the Basie Band, and we were on first. This was in Wichita. And after she sat out and listened to me, and I saw somebody out there, and I thought, no, that's not her. I mean, and I didn't want to think that it was her because it would just, but it was. And after the show, she came backstage and she looked at me and she said, "As long as you live, don't you ever open for me again." And I was horrified. And they all laughed. They said, you know, that was a compliment, you know.
Of course.
I remember just, I loved her so much. Yeah. I love her music. I love her voice.
And she played good piano, too.
Yes.
She was with Earl Hines, I think, in the band.
Exactly.
With Mr. B. Mm-hmm. In fact, she played piano on Piano Jazz. She had a really good time doing it.
I heard that.
Did you?
I heard that one, yeah.
Did you?
It was lovely.
I had such a good time doing it.
It was funny because I love, you know, how her voice would be so high when she would speak. And then when she would sing, it would just have all of this, you know, color and beauty and... She was kind of shy, it seemed like, on a certain level.
Yeah, she was. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, I remember that day when she came in, somebody had to rush out and buy an eyebrow pencil because we had somebody taking pictures, and she said, "I've got no eyebrows."
Hey,
so, you know.
I can understand that.
Me too. I mean, the backstage secrets of piano jazz.
Right.
Well, let's do another tune. You've got such a vast list of tunes. Pick something you like that's maybe up a little bit or something.
Okay, we can do Exactly Like You.
Oh, that's a golden oldie if I ever heard one.
Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Each night for someone exactly like you. Why should we spend money on a show or two? No one does those love scenes exactly like you. You make me feel so grand. I wanna share the world with you. You seem to understand. It's foolish little scheme I'm scheming, dream I'm dreaming now. I know why my mother taught me to be true.
I was thinking something I would like to try to do is to play a solo improvisation and just sort of make it to be a portrait of Diane Reeves.
Oh, thank you.
Well, don't thank me yet.
Okay.
See how it turns out.
Yeah, but I know it's going to be great.
Thank you. To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Save America's Treasures, a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Park Service, Department of the Interior, Fazioli Pianos, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.